Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bela Fleck bringing his concerto for banjo and orchestra, The Impostor, to a blazing close. He was performing here at City Halls in Glasgow with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and conductor Fergus MacLeod. Bela Fleck taking a deep bow at the front of the stage there to a near standing ovation here at City Halls. He's dressed all in black, like the orchestra, and I only mention that because he told me earlier that he's still tickled by the idea of the historically maligned banjo guy putting on a tux and strutting out in front of an orchestra. He told me that he was keen that The Impostor wasn't labelled as a bluegrass concerto. He said he avoided that idea like the plague because it's too much what would have been expected of him. When he was writing, he really immersed himself in the music of Haydn, late Mozart, and Bartók. He said that Bartók taught him to be brave and to embrace dissonance. Now, there's some rejigging going on at the front of the stage here. I think we're going to get an encore. Yes, indeed, here they come. Piper Liam O'Flynn, Rod McVeigh, Artie McGlynn, and Bela Fleck to play an encore.
Thank you.
Traditional Irish jig called the Gold Ring, played here at the 2016 Celtic Connections Festival by piper Liam O'Flynn, keyboardist Rob McVeigh, guitarist Artie McGlynn and banjo player Bela Fleck. You can go to the BBC Radio 3 website and search for Folk Connections, where you'll find all sorts of archived folk sessions, including one by Bela Fleck and his wife Abigail Washburn, also a pretty stellar banjo player in her own right. And the audience here at City Hall's bringing Bela back to the stage. We're trying to, at least. Here he comes at quite a canter, getting applauded by the orchestra as well as by the sold-out crowd here at City Hall's. But that's all from us here at City Halls in Glasgow. There's more from Celtic Connections on BBC Radio 3, and listen out for a folk-flavoured Late Junction playlist from Verity Sharp later tonight. As always, you can listen again to tonight's concert and any of our programmes via the Radio 3 homepage. Thanks for your company, and I'll now hand you back to Broadcasting House for the rest of this evening's programmes.
It's 7.30 and now it's time for Radio 3 in concert, and this evening we turn to the Celtic Connections Festival in Glasgow, where the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Fergus MacLeod, were joined by folk legends Liam O'Flynn and Bela Fleck. Edited for broadcast, this concert was recorded last Saturday and is presented by Kate Mollison.
Welcome to City Halls here in Glasgow, where in deepest January it can be cold and dreich, to say the least. And that is exactly why Celtic Connections was founded here back in 1994. For nearly 3 weeks every winter, the city collectively fends off seasonal affective disorder by hosting pretty much the entire traditional music world. Luminaries of folk, indie, country roots and many other kinds of music from Scotland and around the globe. BBC Radio 3 is installed throughout the festival, and tonight the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra is joined by a pair of folk music trailblazers. Bela Fleck has pushed the expressive range of the banjo, has set new standards of virtuosity and integrated musical styles that are way beyond the realms of bluegrass. After the interval, he'll be the soloist in the UK premiere of his own banjo concerto, a piece called The Impostor for reasons that get his own back on centuries of Western musical hierarchy and his own family history. Here's a hint, his first name, Bela, has a certain musical provenance. Before that, in the first half of the concert, the orchestra will be joined by Liam O'Flynn, High King of the Irish Illan Pipes, a player known in Ireland as the Gentleman Piper and hugely admired for his effortless phrasing, deft ornaments and deeply eloquent musical storytelling. In the 1970s, Liam co-founded the Irish supergroup Planxty, and he went on to collaborate with musicians from Kate Bush, Christy Moore and Emmylou Harris to Sinead O'Connor and John Cage. During the interval tonight, you can hear a conversation I had with Liam O'Flynn whilst he was rehearsing, and during the set, he'll tell us more about the music we'll be hearing. Liam will be joined on stage here at City Halls by guitarist Artie McGlynn and keyboardist Rod McVeigh. The orchestra will be conducted by Fergus MacLeod. So here he comes onto the stage now, Liam O'Flynn, to join the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and conductor Fergus MacLeod.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that was music from Galicia, the north region in the northwest of Spain. The first slower piece on the whistle, that was a tune of a Galician love song, and then into the great marching piece, the Alborada. And the word Alborada actually means sunrise, and apparently in the Galician villages and towns at fiesta time, the Galician pipers would come out at sunrise and with their pipes and march around the town calling people to be ready for the day's fiesta ahead. And I often wonder how well that tradition might go down in here in Scotland, for example, because I'm quite sure at home in Ireland it just wouldn't work at all. Anyway, it's great to be back here in Glasgow at the Celtic Connections Festival, and especially great to be making music with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra. And the conductor for tonight's concert, Fergus MacLeod. And I reckon the two people here on either side of me probably at this stage don't, for most of you anyway, probably don't need any introduction at Celtic Connections. On the guitar, Artie McGlynn, on the keyboard. And on the keyboard, Rod McVeigh. Well, back in 1997, I was very honoured with a request from the then President-elect of Ireland, Mary McAleese, to play the pipes at her inauguration, and also to compose a piece of music especially for the occasion. The idea was that the music would reflect the theme of her presidency, which was building bridges between countries, communities, and so on. So hence the title, An Droid, the Bridge. This next piece of music was composed by a man, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with his work, the Irish composer Sean Davey. And indeed, I've had a very long collaboration with Sean over the years, and thankfully it still exists. This is music that Sean wrote for the Royal Shakespeare Company, their production of the play A Winter's Tale. And in the last scene of the play, a statue comes to life and past hurt is healed. It's a really beautiful tune, and there's a lovely sort of dialogue between the pipes, the cor anglais, and the oboe. And the tune is simply called The Winter's End. Thank you. Well, this next tune, it really has special memories for me and associations and so on. It's called Pert na Buachaí in Irish, which means the music of the spirits. It comes from the Blasket Islands, a really, I don't know, wonderful, mysterious sort of place, islands off the southwest coast of Ireland. I think, well, the main reason it has such associations for me is because this particular tune inspired the poem The Given Note, Seamus Heaney's wonderful poem. And both Seamus and myself had a long association together, gosh, going back almost 25 years, presenting our programme called The Poet and the Piper. And it's a very, very haunting tune. And I don't know, somehow it captures the spirit of the amazing island community that lived there, and an essential part, really, of the Blasket Island culture. So here it is, Port Nabuki. That was for Seamus, for sure. This next piece is a commission I was given by my local town, the town of Kilcullen in County Kildare, about an hour's drive south of Dublin. And in case you pass through, you'll pass through a wonderful area down there called the Curra of Kildare. You'll see plenty of very fine thoroughbreds in training around that area. At any rate, outside the town of Kilcullen, there's a place called Knockallin, which is regarded as one of the premier political and ceremonial sites in ancient Ireland. Really, somehow these places, similar to Knockallin, they have I think they've an incredible atmosphere and mystery about them. And in the opening tune of this piece, I've tried to capture that extraordinary spirit that these places seem to have. And of course, as an assembly place for the clans of the area, we had to have a clan march. And it's simply called the March of the Clans. So here's Knock All In.
Thank you.
And indeed, the orchestral arrangement for that piece was done by none other than Rod McVeigh. And the orchestral arrangement for our next piece is also by Rod McVeigh. So, this one has definitely a lot of local interest, local associations, because it's called Farewell to Govan. And indeed composed by a Scotsman, Phil Cunningham. And Phil and myself, we've known each other for many years and made a lot of music together over the years. It's a wonderful tune, I think. It's a wonderful anthem of a tune. And there's an introduction before it which Artie and Rod put together many years ago. Very, very, very haunting in its own way. So, Farewell to Govan. So we're going to end the first half of the evening with a piece of music, and I mentioned the composer Sean Davey earlier on. This was really groundbreaking music that he wrote. It's a suite really for Ilan Pipes and Orchestra, and he was a wonderful man, is a wonderful man I should say, at mixing musical idioms like the Irish traditional and the European orchestral tradition. This music, it's the last section from the Brendan Voyage suite, and Sean was inspired by a book written by a man named Tim Severin called The Brendan Voyage. And Tim Severin was, he was fascinated by the legend of St. Brendan, who, and it was the 5th or 6th century, was supposed to have sailed to America. And he did it in a little leather-skinned coracle. In fact, these were the sort of boats that these monks sailed around in at that time. So Tim decided he'd make a replica of one of these boats, and with a crew, I think, of about four, he set off on the sort of route that St. Brendan, the legend tells us that he took, a stepping stone route from the southwest coast of Ireland, Brandon Creek, up the coast of Ireland to the Outer Hebrides, and then onto the Faroe Islands, crossed to Iceland, and eventually made landfall in Newfoundland. So, as I say, this is the final section, and it's really a celebration of the this little, amazing little boat reaching Newfoundland, and I think a celebration of the Ilan Pipes in the orchestral setting. So here it is, Newfoundland from the Brendan Voyage. Thank you.
Newfoundland from the Brendan Voyage by Sean Davey. The last movement from the suite for orchestra and Illan pipes, written specially for the piper Liam O'Flynn and played by him here at City Halls in Glasgow with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Fergus MacLeod. And that set started with a traditional Spanish tune called Alborada, then went on to Andrejid, The Bridge by Liam O'Flynn, The Winter's End by Sean Davey, then a traditional tune from the Blaska Islands in Ireland called Port Nabuki, The Music of the Spirits, then Knockolin and The March of the Clans by Liam O'Flynn, and Farewell to Govan, as Liam O'Flynn said, an anthem of a tune by Phil Cunningham. I'm Kate Mollison, here on BBC Radio 3 for this evening's In Concert, coming from City Halls in Glasgow from the 2016 Celtic Connections Festival. And after the interval, we'll be hearing another concerto that broke new grounds in terms of instrumental and stylistic combinations, the concerto for banjo and orchestra by Béla Fleck. But before that, I caught up with piper Liam O'Flynn during rehearsals here in Glasgow, and I asked him to explain what distinguishes the Illan pipes from Scottish Highland pipes.
Well, first of all, the Highland pipes, much louder instrument, I suppose more an outdoor instrument, whereas Illan pipes are much quieter, almost, I suppose, a sort of chamber instrument, nearly. Then the other really main difference is that with Highland pipes, of course, the player blows into the mouth blown, whereas with Illan pipes, there's a bellows which provides the air. And that's where the name Illan comes from, because the Irish word for elbow is illa. So hence, Illan pipes are elbow pipes. Yeah.
There's quite a complex anatomy to look at the instrument, lots of keys and something going on with your knee as well. Could you explain a wee bit of that?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, first of all, the bellows is under the right arm attached to the body, pumps the air across into a bag under the left arm, which is a reservoir of air, and the pressure on that goes into the what's called the chanter, the part of the pipes that produces the tune. There's a reed in there, and I suppose musically as well, I should have mentioned that the instrument has a 2-octave range, and you get the second octave by overblowing, as you would with a tin whistle or a flute or whatever. There are drones, 3 drones, as you'd have with Highland pipes. But then there are 3 other tubes, if you like, which provide a very kind of basic harmonic accompaniment as well. Keys on those tubes. And there you make those speak, if you like, with the sort of heel of your fist or the wrist. So all in all, it's a fairly complex instrument. I have to tell you that you know, the name is sort of complex, or at least difficult, Illan. And many years ago I was doing a program, playing a concert actually, in the north of England, and in the program notes was written Liam O'Flynn, Villain Piper. So whether it was by accident or by design, I'm not sure, but whoever did it anyway, they were much closer to the truth of the situation than they realised, I think. It's an instrument that's extremely, you know, the sort of atmosphere in which it finds itself, it's very delicate, and yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Villain piper is almost the opposite. You're known as a gentleman piper, and I have to say,
I know.
You play more in tune than any piper I've ever heard. What is your trick?
Oh, that is a lovely compliment to get. I think, you know, kind of from day one, being in tune was, you know, all important to me. And of course, if you're working with an orchestra, you know, you really have to be in tune. Yeah.
You were one of the first piper, really, to play with an orchestra in 1980, especially with the Brendan Voyage,
yes,
with Sean Davey. Has this become a normal collaboration for you now?
It has, actually. It was, first of all, a groundbreaking work that Sean did, combining, you know, 2 musical idioms and the Irish traditional and the European classical. And he, because he understood the inner workings, if you like, of Illan pipes and that, he was able to write music that was accessible to the instrument. And he just did a wonderful job, and he's done so many more works since for Illan pipes and orchestra. I really enjoy working with an orchestra. It's such a fantastic sound they make. I mean, it's wonderful, yeah.
Liam O'Flynn. And in a few moments, Béla Fleck will join the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra to play the UK premiere of his banjo concerto, The Impostor. This is a piece that Bela wrote in 2011, and it was something of a personal mission. I asked him, what exactly is behind that name? Who is the imposter?
Yeah, both of us, I guess. Typical inferiority complex. And I got to title the piece, so I got to just lay that right out there. And people have kind of low expectations for the banjo, which really works in my favor. But I also have that feeling sometimes that someone's just going to say, what are you doing here? You've got to get out of here. This is, you know, this is not where you belong. And I do a lot of music where I find myself in situations where the banjo isn't typically there. And so I have that feeling a lot of playing with African musicians or Indian musicians or jazz musicians. So the orchestra is the ultimate place where that ought to happen. But so far, nobody's kicked me out.
I don't think they'll be kicking you out tonight. You said that people have low expectations of the banjo, yet you've taken it to places that are extremely virtuosic and you've used styles that are far beyond bluegrass. Is this something of a mission for you?
It is. And I think partly it's because although I love the southern heritage of the banjo and Earl Scruggs is the reason I play the banjo in the first place, I'm from New York City and I grew up on 100th Street in West End, and then I got bit by this banjo bug and it was the 60s. So I grew up with Beatles and I grew up with modern jazz, Miles Davis and Return to Forever, the Fusion Ears, and you know, all of the music of that time, Jimi Hendrix, etc. So for me to try to pretend that I'm from a little cabin home on the hill would be foolish and dishonest. I'm from a little apartment building on the Upper West Side, so I play like that.
There's something in your personal names as well that is interesting. Tell us about your three forenames and how they connect to the classical music that you're investigating in this piece.
Sure. Well, my name's Bela Anton Lajos Fleck. So Bela is for Bartok, Anton is for Webern, Lajos is for Janáček, and those are my three classical names. It's an interesting story. My father and my mother split up when I was very young, and I didn't meet my father until I was in my 40s, and I had to go search him out, not to get too personal into all of that, but he gave me all those names. So it was a big mystery. It was sort of like the Darth Vader in my life. But so it took me a long time to start investigating. In fact, the imposter was the first time, when I was beginning to write this piece, I thought it was time for me to reckon with Bartok finally. Because every time I heard it, and when I was young, I always found it very dissonant and I couldn't relate to it. And then as I got older, it got more and more interesting, but I still hadn't, something about me was pushing it away a little bit. Maybe it's because I got the names from my father, who I didn't have a close relationship with. Maybe I didn't even, you know, wasn't sure I liked all these names. And there was no classical music influence from him. And then I got into bluegrass and jazz and all the other stuff, so I just never really investigated it. But around this time, I decided it was time.
So you say this is your reckoning with Bartok. Can you hear that in the music? Can you hear that in the concerto?
Oh, not that much. A little bit here and there. I think it made me brave. Well, let me put it this way. When you're first writing music for classical instruments, you might imagine you're writing something fairly wild and intense, but the truth is it's completely tame, you know, because the ear is so used to hearing all of these amazing things, these amazing harmonies and rhythms from an orchestra. But if you start listening to some music like that, some more modern music, then you start to feel confident that you can try things like that. And so I was a lot more confident using dissonances, minor seconds, or, you know, stacking scale tones and things like that that maybe I wouldn't have tried as much. And I was really inspired by some of his pieces. Some of his piano music made me feel like I could use a lot of that in the banjo parts, and his violin concertos and his piece for orchestra and percussion gave me a lot of ideas about just being brave, you know, not being afraid of the notes that hurt a little bit.
And you've played this piece nearly 40 times now,
I think so.
Times?
Yeah, I think we're getting to 40 at this point.
And there's rumors that you're writing another one.
I am. I'm going to be premiering technically it's the second banjo concerto, which is going to be next month. I'm working feverishly on learning my banjo parts for that. There was actually another piece for banjo and chamber orchestra, which I guess you could also call a concerto too if you wanted to, but we just didn't call it that. This will be the third piece. But The Imposter was the first shot at it, and I had a lot at stake because I felt like I was carrying the weight of the banjo world on my back and that I needed to do something worthwhile. Whether I did or not is anybody's guess. You know, it's up to the individual listener, but I was trying very hard to write a good piece.
Bela Fleck. The Imposter is in three movements titled Infiltration, Integration, and Truth Revealed. The range of styles that Bela Fleck draws on is wildly eclectic, and you'll hear his writing process really evolving through the piece. In the first movement, his effort to reckon with Bach and others is quite audible, and then his own musical voice emerges and increasingly dominates the textures. Only at the end of the concerto does he finally let rip with a mad flash of bluegrass. And here is Bela Fleck now, coming onto the stage to play The Impostor, his own concerto for banjo and orchestra, with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and conductor Fergus MacLeod.